A few years ago, I was at a store and they had some replica Confederate money. I bought it. I thought this would go kind of cool with some of my stamps and things that I collect. And as I was thinking about that Confederate money, I thought, whatever happened to that? Well, you know, the Civil War as it broke out in the early 1860s, and then came April of 1865. And when Lee surrenders to Grant in April of 1865, there was a small imprint of writing on this that became very true. This is a $20 bill, and it says this: payable 6 months after the ratification of a treaty of peace between the Confederate States and the United States. Basically, what that meant was, if we win, this is worth something. But in 1865, people who had a few of these or hundreds of these found that these were now worthless. It's a good reminder for us. One day, I don't know where you will be or I will be. I don't know when it will be, but there will come a day when we step into a kingdom where the treasures of this earth mean nothing anymore. And Jesus wants to make sure that we think about that before that day. So take your Bibles this morning and turn with me to Matthew chapter 6. And we're going to pick up today in verse number 19. Matthew chapter 6 and verse number 19, as we're continuing through the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus picks up in verse number 19 and says this: "Don't store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves don't break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. So if the light within you is darkness, how deep is that darkness? No one can serve two masters, since either he will hate one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money." As Jesus is moving through the Sermon on the Mount, we find that he is very concerned about what we do with our money. It is of utmost importance how you look at money. It is not of utmost importance. It is ultimately of eternal importance. What you do with and how you handle the money that God has given us. Now, Jesus has already addressed money at the beginning of Matthew chapter 6 and said, when you give, I don't want you to sound trumpets and I don't want you to make a show of it. Instead, keep it secretive so that even your left hand doesn't know what your right hand is doing. He has moved through the areas of giving and praying and fasting. And now he comes to this area that says, and this is of utmost importance, that you recognize the view of money. Because here, big sentence, Jesus calls us to serve God and invest in eternal purposes. Jesus calls us to serve God and invest in eternal purposes. And so as he's kind of laying this out, he's going to talk next time, next week, Lord willing, that we're together, about worrying too much about money, maybe not having enough. But now he's going to confront us and say, look, don't keep this at the forefront of your mind. And so what Jesus does as he winds this passage together, he ultimately shows us that there are two kinds of treasures, there are two kinds of eyes, And there are two masters that each one of us will choose. So as we think of this passage, I want us to notice first off that there are really two types of treasure. Jesus begins in verse number 19, and he says, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, but he says, but do store up for yourselves treasures in heaven. So Jesus makes it very clear that there are two different kinds of treasures and that these treasures are both very different. When we think about earthly treasure, there is a warning. There's a warning when it comes to earthly treasure. And what Jesus says is, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust corrupt and where thieves break in and steal. He reminds us that what we have here on this earth is very insecure. That there is the possibility of moth and rust. People often would have their wealth in their garments and in their clothing, and you know, moths will get after those, or in some kind of metal. Iron will rust. When we think of gold and silver, those kinds of things, they do not rust, but they do tarnish. And so the picture is when you hold on to these things too dearly, understand and recognize that those things are going to be corrupted. Or he ultimately gives the picture as well that it's not just moth and rust, but thieves will break in and steal. And when people went to the public baths, a lot of times that was time for stealing. Or when people would break into homes, there would be times for stealing. And what Jesus is driving home is that ultimately all of our money is insecure. When you think about it, think of it this way. Most of us have lived through the three of the five worst days that have ever happened on the stock market. And people lost lots of money. October 19th, 1987, Dow Jones drops 22.6%. The S&P dropped 20.47%. March 16th, 2020, dropped 12.93%. Days 3 and 4 happened in 1929. I trust that at 97 years ago almost, probably most of us weren't there then. But day number 5, March 12th, 2020. And ultimately, one of the worst weeks ever, October 6th through 10th, 2008, when the housing bubble burst. What Jesus drives home to us is that what we have ultimately is not something that we can put our security in. There are elements out there, moth, rust, they can destroy, corrupt. There are thieves that can break in and steal. And ultimately, he reminds us it's not only insecure, but it is just temporary. It is just here for a little while, and then it goes away. As we think of this temporary nature, I'm reminded of the story that John Wesley, the father of Methodism, in the 1700s, as he is moving specifically in his greatest ministry from about 1750 on, he one day was riding and a man was showing him his huge plantation. And as he's driving him along and shows him this huge plantation, they're out on their horses all day and they can't cover all of the ground. They get back to the house and the man says, man, what do you think of my ranch? What do you think of my plantation? And Wesley said, I think you're going to have a hard time leaving all of this. But can I tell you, leaving all of it is what we do. Job reminds us in Job 1:21, naked I came from my mother's womb and naked I shall return. We come into this life empty-handed and we leave this life empty-handed. You might live even as a millionaire, even as a billionaire, but you don't die one. You leave it all. Earthly treasure brings this warning. But then he talks to us about heavenly treasure. He says, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Now, how do I do this? How do I lay up money in the First National Bank of Heaven? What does that look like? How can I send that? Well, understand and recognize there are two things that are eternal. Two things. One, Matthew 24:35 says, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. The word of God is going to last forever. You know what else is going to last forever? The souls of men and women. And when we invest in the Word of God, and specifically taking that Word of God to promote life and eternal life into the souls of men, that is laying up treasures in heaven. And Jesus says, when we think of this investment of laying up treasures in heaven, of heavenly treasures, it brings affirmation because it is secure. It is secure. He says, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Listen, there's no moths and there's no rust up there. There's no thieves up there. Instead, make that investment in the First National Bank of Heaven and it is secure. I'm thankful that we had a snow week and so it worked out so that the Gideons could be here today. Isn't it amazing how just the timing of that worked out? We booked this 9-10 months ago, and we just happened to hit this passage, thinking about the Gideons and the investment in the Word of God into the hearts and lives of men and women. And we think of the ministry of the church, investing God's Word in the hearts and lives of men and women. And this is ultimately what it's all about. It is secure, and also it is eternal. It's eternal. He says, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. This is the way that we store up for ourselves, that we prepare ourselves for eternity by laying up treasures in heaven. The First National Bank of Heaven, as I am generous in the areas of gospel ministry, when I am investing in the hearts and lives of other people, what do we find? We find that that is the kind of investment that lays up treasures in heaven, and we're laying them up for us. Ultimately, it's better than your 401k and better than your 403b. The picture is this is true treasure. This is true treasure. Now, I don't think that Jesus is saying that we have to live as an ascetic and give everything that we have away and we have to live an impoverished life. But I think what he is telling us is that as we think about life, and we think about our stewardship, there is more than just trying to live a luxurious, extravagant life here on earth. There is a way to lay up treasures for us in heaven. And as we invest in the hearts and lives of men and women and students and boys and girls in the work of the ministry and in the work of the gospel and putting forth our own energy to seek the kingdom of God, then we find, hey, that's a treasure that will last. The day you die, it's all gone. Everything here on earth, it's all gone. And may I just remind at least this group this morning that your largest single stewardship decision is normally in your will. And I would say, remember your children, but I would also say, remember the gospel. And if your children are just living and, you know, counting your days until you die because they're materialists and they just want stuff, all the more reason to invest in the things of the gospel. If you would look at my beneficiaries right now on my retirement account, which you can tell I'm still working, it's broke up into five. Luke, Joel, Micah, Josh, and then this church and a couple of other Christian organizations that I want to have a part in. That's the picture. So think through. Lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. And you know how exciting it is going to be on that day when you just invested in the things of the Lord. And you hear a story of a young man who came to know Jesus because of a Gideon Bible, or because someone on a mission trip from First Baptist St. Charles went off and shared the gospel with somebody. They didn't make a decision that week, but later they came to know Jesus, and now they've come to know Jesus, and they've shared Jesus with others. I'm telling you, lay up treasures in heaven. There are two types of treasures. Secondly, what we find here is there are two perspectives of possessions. There are two perspectives of possessions. And as Jesus goes on, he begins to talk about eyes. He's not just talking about physical eyes. He's ultimately talking about spiritual eyes. He says that the eye is the lamp of the body. And if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. Now, in the context here, we find that Jesus is talking about money. And what I think he is talking about is the difference between a healthy eye and a bad eye. What we find is and again, kind of finishing up that third thought, is our heart is pulled toward the things of our treasure. And then he begins to kind of mix our heart and our eyes together. If our heart is bad and our eyes are bad, then our body is going to be a mess. And so what he does is he takes the eyes in verse number 22, and as he pictures the eye being healthy, the healthy eye, what does it do? It promotes a sense of generosity in giving. There is this sense in which it promotes living for a heavenly and with a heavenly perspective. You say, well, where do you get this from out of this passage? Well, remember that the people listening to Jesus were Jews. And because they were Jews, they had the Old Testament. And notice, just write down on the side, Proverbs chapter 22 and verse number 9. It says this, a generous person will be blessed, for he shares his food with the poor. A generous person. Now, if you open that passage in your Bible, mine has a little A next to it. A generous person has a little A. So you go down in the footnote and you look, and what does the Hebrew literally say? You know what it literally says? He who is good of eye. A good eye. A generous person and a good eye were synonymous. So a person with a healthy eye is going to be a generous person with a healthy perspective. You say, well, how do you know that works that way? Well, let's take the next one. We think about a bad eye promoting this selfish perspective, and we look over in Proverbs chapter 28. So we have the healthy eye, which promotes a heavenly perspective, but then we have this bad eye. What does the bad eye do? It puts forth a selfish perspective. That's what he says. If your eye is bad, your whole body is going to be full of darkness. And then in Proverbs chapter 28 and verse number 22, a greedy one is in a hurry for wealth. He is chasing wealth. You look at the footnote. What does the literal Hebrew say? A man with an evil eye. It's interesting how both of those references from Proverbs 22 and Proverbs 28 both talk about the eye. The eye provides perspective for the body. And how you look at money and how you look at possessions is going to determine whether you have a good heart and whether you have a good eye. A healthy eye. A good eye promotes generosity, Proverbs 22. A bad eye hurries for wealth, seeking to get rich. I have an eye doctor appointment on Friday. Now, I go and get a physical every year. I go get a CT scan and chest x-ray every other year. And I was waiting for one of our graduates who is a member of our church to finish her optometry degree to go see her, Dr. Martin. So I'm going to go see her on Friday. And so I told her, it's been 2 or 3 years since I've been to the eye doctor. To which she said, buddy, a week later, I looked up your file. You haven't been to the eye doctor since 2020. How time flies. I wonder, when was the last time we had our spiritual eyes checked? And what our perspective of treasure really is? When was the last time you evaluated yourself and thought, am my eyes or my heart more concerned about things in the here and now, and the buying and the purchasing and the doing? Or do I have an eye and a heart for the kingdom? And that's a big question. And I think it's a worthy question to answer. Two treasures, earthly and heavenly. Two kinds of perspectives, two kinds of eyes. a healthy and a bad. But ultimately, there is only one decision of allegiance. There is only one. And Jesus wraps that up when he says, no one can serve two masters. No one. You can't do it, and I can't do it. I mean, think of it in that day. The Roman Empire had tens of millions of slaves. And because the Roman Empire was filled with slaves, people knew what it was, what Jesus was driving home. One master over here says, hey, I want you here at this time to do this. And the other one says, hey, I want you here at this time to do this. You can't be two places at once. What are you going to do? Well, let me tell you what you're going to do. You're going to choose one. And Jesus now drives this decision home to each one of us and says, ultimately, how's your heart? How's your eyes? And where is your allegiance? Notice back down in verse number 24 with me. Jesus puts it this way. No one can serve two masters, since either he will hate one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You only can choose one. First, as we think about that, you can choose the earth and its treasures. You can choose the earth and its treasures. And you have plenty of opportunity to do that. There is so much stuff that you could accumulate. There are so many places to go. There is so much opportunity for you to dress in such the latest fashion. There is so much that you can drive, so much that you can wear, so much where that of a house that you can have. Jesus says you get to choose, but you can only choose one. So I would just challenge you today, if you are going to choose earth and the treasures of earth, live it up. Enjoy it. Spend it all. You'd be kind of like the guy who, in Luke chapter 12, Jesus gives a story. There was a man who had a bumper crop, and he had so much, he didn't even know what to do with it all. So he came up with a brilliant idea. I know what I will do. I will tear down my barns and build bigger barns so I can have all of my crops so that I can take it easy. I can eat, drink, and be merry. For some, that is the goal of their life. For many, they think, if I can just work hard enough and long enough and get to retirement, I can be part of the FIRE movement where I can save everything and retire early and live it up. And in the story, Jesus says, God speaks and says, you fool! Tonight, your soul will be required of you. A fool. It's almost to the point that we would look and say, if someone just wants to live for this life, it's just foolish. It's short-sighted. It's at this point where we would think, what's the point? But there are many who think that somewhere out there with the latest gadget or the newest car or the newest clothes or the newest vacation and the hottest new trend that I can follow, that is going to bring me a semblance of peace in my life and going to fulfill a purpose in my life. And Jesus says, that's foolish. That's foolish. But that's a choice. You can choose to live for the earth and its treasures. And all of us have people who we know are doing that. We all know people like that. The materialists of this world who just want to earn a little more so that they can do a little more. You can choose the earth and its treasures, or you can choose heaven. You can choose the Lord's priorities. You can choose heaven and its treasures. You can come to a point of choosing the things of the Lord, choosing God first. We'll look at that at the end of Matthew 6, where he says, seek first the kingdom of God. Seeking God and his treasures. You don't have to be rich to have this kind of perspective of wanting everything on earth. You could be poor and long for that. Just thinking, if I can do this and gain this and have a little more of this. But ultimately, what it comes down to is seeking God and his treasures. Jesus tells another story in Luke chapter 16. He tells a story about a rich man and a poor beggar named Lazarus. And Lazarus is poor and he begs at the gate, and it says even the dogs lick his wounds. It's just kind of a disgusting picture of poverty. And many of you have seen that on mission trips throughout the world. But they both die. And it says that the rich man goes to Hades, and the poor man was carried by angels into Abraham's bosom. I love that picture of being carried by angels at that point of death. I believe it's true. But even greater than that, I believe that there is a place called heaven. And that is to be the place that we lay our treasures. The Bible makes it very clear we have one of two choices. We can live for God and follow Jesus, or anything else. For all of us here today, you've probably heard dozens of times before, but the truth is all of us are sinners, and we have fallen short of God's plan for our life. We have missed God's perfect standard for our life. And because of that, we are disqualified from a perfect heaven with a holy God. None of us can get to heaven on our own. We can't give our way to heaven. We can't be good enough to go to heaven. The truth is there's only one way that we can get to heaven. Through believing that Jesus died on the cross to take the penalty for our sin. That's why we keep the cross front and center. And that he rose again, and he now offers forgiveness and eternal life. That's it, period. Anything else, we end up missing God's perfect standard of holiness, and we end up separated from him for all eternity in eternal punishment. Life is short. James reminds us it is like a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes away. But heaven is eternal. And so the Lord challenges us. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust corrupt and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroy, nor thieves break in and steal. Confederate money, April 1865, worthless. People used it for kindling. They took the paper money and they used it to start fires. People crumpled it up and stuffed it in cracks and used it as insulation. People wrote notes on the back of it and used it for scratch paper. They used it as wallpaper on their walls. Worthless. yesterday or Friday, gold closed at $5,100+ an ounce. In heaven, we walk on it. Don't lay up for yourselves treasures on earth. You just might find it's the asphalt of heaven. With that, let's pray. Lord, may we never hold the things of this life so tightly that we miss the opportunities to invest in the Word of God and the souls of men, laying up treasures in heaven. God, I pray that you would speak and that you would challenge. Lord, that you would move. Lord, may your Spirit, just in this quiet moment, just speak fresh and new to me. Freshly speak to us. Lord, may we invest in the kingdom, even today, as we have the opportunities to give part of tithes and offerings, as we have the opportunity to invest in Gideon ministry. Lord Jesus, may we not lay up treasures on earth, but treasures on earth.